every motherless daughter. It's a ray of hope for the fatherless son, from the faithful one.
Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this entire series. Lord, you've transformed us. You've transformed us by the simple acknowledgement and belief of all of Christ and his life that's present in us. Teach us, grow us, mature us in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's hold them up together. This is the word of God. God cannot lie. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says, in Christ, we possess vision. We possess wisdom. We possess salvation. We possess healing. We are not hoarders. We are his distributors. Amen. Amen. We're going to conclude this series, a prophetic message from the Holy Spirit that Christ is our life. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay, so God breathes life into us as human beings. Remember, the first thing that you drew upon was not the air of the world, but as a human being, the first thing we took in and partook of was the very life and spirit of God. So just simply based on the law of original design, you can see how mankind is made to feed on the life and spirit of Christ. Is that fair? Does that make sense? That's not a reach. We're not made to feed on the world. The natural realm was not our first source. God is our source. And then Genesis 3:6, let's see what happened. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and could make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. Everybody say she ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Now, let's fast forward to, that was 6,000 years ago. Now let's look at 2,000 years ago. John chapter 6, verse 48. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Here comes redemption, everybody. We fell, we were severed from the life of God, but here comes redemption. Verse 55, he says, my body is food indeed. Verse 57, he who feeds on me will what? Will live because of me. So don't you find it interesting that Jesus is adamant that we need to eat of him, considering 6,000 years ago we ate and we died. So here he comes. Here comes redemption, the God of second chances. Thank you, Jesus. 6,000 years ago, we ate and we were cut off from the life of God. We lost our source. We lost our daily bread. And so we died spiritually. And then here we go, 2,000 years ago, Jesus shows up as what? The tree of life. The tree of life we all forgot about. Remember, we ate of the wrong tree. So the tree of life shows up and say, hi, I'm bread. Feed on me. Feed on me. Don't leave behind the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen. Zacchaeus, remember prophetically, Jesus said, come down out of that tree. Who's he talking to? Every human being. Come out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to come live with you. Amen. Go ahead, give God praise. Amen. So we ate and got ourselves into a mess. And now through this series, we've learned we eat and we get ourselves out of the mess. How many of you know, we realize we fed way too long on the world. We fed for too long on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We fed on all these other sources, even though as Christians, we knew he was the vine. We knew he was the bread. We knew we were supposed to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. We knew that he's our source. But we got duped, didn't we? And the church, unfortunately, on a broad scale, the church has taken on the spirit of the world. The world is full of naturalism. They're naturalists. Most government entities on the planet are naturalists. What that means is they just believe there's one dimension, the natural dimension. And so we got confined. But Jesus is spirit. Amen. God is spirit. Whoever wants to know him, worship him, relate to him, does so in spirit and in truth. Hey, we're dimensionalist. We're not naturalists. We're dimensionalists. In other words, we believe in dimensions. And there is a dimension of the natural realm. But there's a dimension in the spirit that I feed on. That gives me life as a human being. Why is it my native land? Because when Adam was first created, the first human being, his first thing he partook of was the dimension of the spirit, not the natural world. Amen. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. So we fed too long on the other things, and God has called us to get back to feeding on His life and spirit that we're actually designed for. Now, why is this important? Because every creation has to abide in and be sourced by the dimension that it's made for. Every created thing. Are you a created thing? All right. Every created thing has to abide in and live in the dimension that gives it life. Okay, so fish abide in water. How many of you know, how many think fish vote to stay in the water? How many? All right, so fish abide in the water. Why? Because water gives life to the fish. Plants abide in soil. Why? Because soil gives life to plants. Plants vote no when you rip them up and throw them on the ground. What happens to them? They die. You take a fish out of the dimension he's sourced for, he will die. When we ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we died spiritually because we were made to abide in the Spirit. Amen. So as human beings, we abide in the Spirit because God's Spirit is life to us. Isn't this powerful? That's such a powerful truth. So the Spirit is life to us. Here's one for your notes. Galatians 5:25. Since we've been made alive by the Spirit, we were made what? Alive, not dead. If we're abiding in the Spirit, that's not throwing the fish on the ground, okay? That's us living. If we abide in the Spirit, he says, let us walk by the Spirit. If we've been made alive by the Spirit, I'm sorry, that's what he says. If we're made alive by the Spirit, let us walk or abide in the Spirit. John 6:63, Jesus said this, the Spirit gives. How did we miss all this? It's like man knows a lot about a lot except what actually sources him. I mean, think of the junk we've stuck in here. Think of the people we've wounded trying to get them to make us happy, to fulfill us. And yet it's all here plain as day. The Spirit gives life. Then he says, John 6:63, my words are spirit and life to you. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the law of the letter kills, but the Spirit gives. Romans 8:2 says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Listen to that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets you free from rules. The law of sin and death. What I mean by that is rule-based acceptance. That's what I mean. Okay, rules are fine. We need rules for our children. Can I get a witness? Oh, dear Lord in heaven. Amen. But we hope that when they're 30, they're not still needing our rules and the threat of a spanking to keep them in line. We want them to be born again and be led internally. I'm going to do right because I am right, right? I'm right with God. I'm going to go be belief. Romans 8:6 says the mind set on the Spirit is life to us. The mind, the human mind, set on the Spirit is life to us. So we're made to abide in and feed on the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that will give you life. CNN cannot give you life. ESPN cannot give you life. OU winning the national championship this year. Cannot give you life. It'll give you temporary happiness. Happiness is based on happenstance. In other words, it's based on circumstances, right? Situations. Am I preaching good? She said no. And she's an OSU fan. Don't talk about football now. Right? Because we do. We look to those things. We look to football. Or we look to entertainment. Or we look to the media. And how about, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not crisis. Drama. Oh, my gosh. People addicted to drama. There's plenty of drama in the political world. But it's not going to be life to you. How about your spouse now? Even your spouse is not life to you. Now, they can give you a measure of it. Remember the little cup analogy? They can give you a dollar's worth. But Christ is $10 worth of life. And that's the hole you got there. Now, I don't believe the Spirit of God is saying that we can never watch football, Kenda. I don't think he's saying we can't watch TV, don't listen to the radio, don't watch football, don't ever check into those things. I think what he's saying is, let me remind you what's going to be life to you. That's the key. We have to be able to watch with the understanding, or get on Twitter or look at the political election and all that with the understanding that's not going to be life to me. I mean, even if the person you're hoping wins, I'm not looking to a political candidate. I am looking to Jesus Christ to turn this nation around. Amen. So our assignment doesn't change. Four major emphases in this series have been this, and I encourage you, please write these down, because I think the Lord wants us to take these with us through this series. Four major emphases. Number one, he said, I want to cut off what you've been feeding on so you can feed on me. That was the first emphasis. Number two, I want to drive out all unbelief from you. I want to be belief. So he wanted to drive out all unbelief. Number three, the spirit of the overcomer and invincibility was released in this series. Amen. I want to continue to walk that out, not just say, well, the series is over and now I'm going to be defeated all the time. What he was saying in the spirit of the overcomer was, no longer, everybody say no longer. No longer. We've heard this a bunch. No longer will you be ruled by things outside of you that have no bearing, no effect whatsoever on who you are, how valuable you are to me, and how much I love you. Amen. Amen. We got tired of looking to circumstances to try and figure out whether God loved us or not. That was answered 2,000 years ago. Number four, the fourth major emphasis was Sundays are not enough. You're going to have to feed on me every day. Amen. I mean, if you're just going to feed spiritually on Sunday, just do that in the natural too for me. Wow. So yeah, I mean, Sundays are not enough. We need to be feeding on him every single day as our source. And I think that's been one of the predominant things. I want to get quickly to the practicals. This is where we left off last week. We're talking about practical things that have helped me. That's what I'm sharing with you. But you guys need to talk to each other. Amen. Remember, I want you to stir up conversation this week about what helps you, what aids you in manifesting Christ as life. So we looked at number one, daily remind myself my true identity. Very important right here, everybody. Right thinking leads to right living. Your thoughts are more important than your actions. When I grew up in church, they never addressed my thought life, but they sure were quick to tell me how my behavior was wrong. Well, that's a stout statement, isn't it? They never addressed my thought life and my awful view of myself as a Christian, because I felt like I was a failure. I couldn't be perfect all the time. But they talked to me a lot about outward actions and behavior. This is why there's so much emphasis in the Bible on your thinking. How about this one? Renew your mind, the Bible says. Be of the same mind. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. The Bible says be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Bible says God gives you soundness of mind. The Bible says let this mind be in you. And it also, my personal favorite, Romans 8:5, those who walk according to the Spirit set their minds. We need to set our mind. All right, number two, practice his presence every morning. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Brother Kyle and I were talking about this week. There's just something about, and he was sharing with the youth, there's just something about giving Jesus the first minutes of your day. Just prioritizing him and say, hey, before I turn on TV, I'm going to turn on Jesus. I want to listen to you. I want to hear from you. Before I turn on the radio or whatever it may be. So I think there's something about that. I like to listen to, soft kind of worship music a lot of times so I can listen. We talked about the spiritual dimension, John 14:21, in the Amplified, Jesus said, whoever loves me, I'll show myself to them. I'll allow myself to be clearly seen by them. So I like to close my eyes and look in the dimension of the Spirit and commune with Christ. Don't always see him by the Spirit, so don't make a law out of it or whatever. But it's something that is there. The spiritual dimension, we can see things in that dimension. Number three, daily feed my spirit man and live out present tense Christianity. This is very important. I want to live out the Christ life in the present tense. One of the things that has really stirred the churches here in Eastern Oklahoma County is the idea that the church can no longer be a memorial to what God did 2,000 years ago. The church has to be a voice and demonstration of what God's currently saying and doing. So what does that do? It brings us into the present tense. Now it's based on what he had done, but he's still alive, man. He's still here in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become what? Bread. Bread. Bread, bread, bread. But he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by that kind of bread, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Isn't it fascinating? His words, Christ is the word, is life to us. We should eat his word. His word is the bread of life. So we live this mouth-to-mouth relationship with God. Psalm 81:10, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Psalm 81:10. It's literally a Hebrew picture of a mother bird feeding her young. That's our relationship with God. And you know what happened to me is I got saved. I believed in Jesus because I heard the story and I got saved. Then I tried my darndest to live a Christian life without God at all. Just based on my intellect. Anybody ever been there? So every day the devil's going to offer you stones trying to convince you it's bread. Mainstream media. Here, feed on this. Look at the drama going on. You got to be in the know on this. TV, entertainment, pornography, we could go on and on and on and on. Eat this! Yeah, well, it's not going to satisfy you. That's the wrong kind of bread. Touch your neighbor and say, wrong kind of bread. So, what's helped me in this series is I've made a conscious effort to allocate more time to him. You know, sometimes I get on YouTube and I watch different playbacks of old football games. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I was born in 70, but you know, Roger Staubach and then the 80s, the Dallas Cowboys, Tony Dorsett, and even OU football, I'll go back and watch them. All that stuff's on YouTube. And if that caused you to stumble, I'm really sorry. I don't want to tempt you with watching those things. But what I've done during the course of this series is just more and more time to the word, more and more time to what he's saying. If even on YouTube, I like to watch Dan Moeller, Tudor Bismarck, Dwayne Sheriff, you know, and just feeding my spirit man a lot more. And that's made the difference. I don't really know, like I told you before, that God just blew in and said, okay, let me sprinkle angel dust on Grace Church. I think what has happened is we have really been feeding on the right things for about 6 weeks. Does that make sense? There was a shift in our spirit. Go ahead and give God praise. Amen. There was a shift in our spirit that the things of the world don't matter near as much to me. You know, I've been reminded, renewed to what satisfies me. Talking to the youth Wednesday night after they got back from camp just a couple of weeks ago, we call it the camp effect. You know, they come back. What do you think happens when a young person goes to camp? They get set apart. They get to feed on Jesus all week. And sure, they have fun, but they're around, basically it's a Christian environment. They're around the Word. They're around worship all the time. They're around the Holy Spirit. They're lifted out of that old summer routine of feeding on junk. Feeding on the natural world. So what we told them when they came back is, praise God for what he's done, but you got to keep feeding. You got to keep feeding on Christ. The shift you felt in your spirit and why you have so much more joy and happiness now is because what you fed on for 5 days. It's not rocket science. Amen. It's just you are what you eat. And you know, the body of Christ here in the West, we've definitely reflected more of the world's character than we have of Christ. So I thank God for this word this summer. Most believers are alive with new life in Christ. Most believers, they'll experience renewal, but then they'll go back and nourish themselves with the bread of the world, which is really stones. First, First John chapter 2, verse 15, New Living Translation. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. Now, he's not saying you're not saved or God left you, okay? That's not what he's saying. But if we're feeding on these other things, the love of God is not readily present where we're participating with it. Verse 16, for the world offers you only a craving. Interesting wording here. Craving for physical pleasure. Craving for what we see. Pride in our achievements and possessions. These aren't from your Father. They're from the world. Boy, isn't that interesting? Because a whole lot of churches have really drummed up the idea of achievements and possessions. Well, two of them got it. I do enjoy listening to other people and feeding on the word, mostly in my car. I'll listen to CDs to feed my spirit, man. I love E. Stanley Jones. I read his stuff all the time. Everybody I listen to or I read, I'm not even telling you, I agree with everything they say. I just take the best and leave the rest. You want to know why? Because my chief teacher is the Holy Spirit. So whatever he can use out of that, I'm going to take. But he's the primary teacher. It's foolish for any of us to think that nobody else in the body of Christ can teach us anything. Amen? I don't even say with what I just said that I only listen to Jesus. I don't listen to anybody else. No, I learn from you all. I learn from you. Your emails or, you know, Brother Jeremy or even Stacy, you know, and different ones that speak into my life. I can learn from anybody. I think that's having a teachable spirit. Amen, somebody? But Christ is primary. Christ is primary and he's the teacher. If you look at number 4, it goes with it. Get to know the life that's to be expressed through me. So Christ is life. He wants to be expressed through me. If the more I get to know him, I think the better I can express him and who he is. If that makes sense to you. T.D. Jakes, for example. I don't preach like him. Why? Because T.D. Jakes is not to be expressed through me. Christ is to be expressed through me. Can I learn from T.D. Jakes? Sure I can. Sure I can. Philippians 3:9 says, the reason that God made us righteous is so we could know him. Isn't that something? He made you righteous so he could bring you to himself so you could know him. I love reading the red in the Bible. I love Jesus, man. This guy's perfect theology. I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't understand it all. But boy, he's awesome. He's perfect theology to me. I look at how he interacts with humanity, the believers, the non-believers. This is why we need to be in the Bible. Okay, we don't get into the Bible so God love us. He already does love you. We get in the Bible so we can better know the life that's to be expressed through us. Amen. Which brings me to number 5. I got a really funny story that goes with that, but I'm going to save it. Number 5, I recognize and acknowledge the divine resources of Christ's life in me. Since we contain his very life, we got to meditate and think on what's actually available to us every day. Can I give you a few? Here's what's available to you every single day. His unconditional love is in you. His freedom is in you. His forgiveness is in you. Discernment, how about that? His discernment is in you. His patience. Lord, help us, Jesus. His patience is in you. His righteousness, his holiness, his adequacy. How about his sense of adequacy? It's in you. When we feel inadequate, it's because we're looking to ourselves for adequacy. And that will leave you feeling very inadequate. His selflessness is in you. His security with the Father is in you. You don't even have your relationship with God. You have his. Woo, think about that. His self-esteem is in you. How about this? His self-control is in you. Well, I just can't say no to that. Well, yes, you can. In Christ. His boldness is in you. How about his healing? His healing is present in you. Wasn't that a wonderful testimony about our sister from Tennessee? Who said, you know what? I don't have to see it to believe it. I believe it now. So how does realizing all the resource we have change our attitude every day? I mean, instead of walking around empty-handed thinking, man, I hope it's a good day today, we're walking around really in tune with all the resource we have. Listen to this. without knowing, acknowledging, believing, and living from the resources of Christ's life, there'll be no major transformation. Without knowing, believing, and participating with the internal resource, you're not going to experience the transformation you want to see. Amen. Remember, He didn't save you so you could be happy. He saved you to transform you. And so you need to believe and acknowledge and know the Christ life resource you have. The key to a transformed outer life is simply the acknowledgement and belief of a transformed inner life. The key to a transformed outer life is the acknowledgement and belief that I've been transformed on the inside. I've got Christ, you know, power and spirit and life in me. That'll lift you out of, man, I tell you, life is so not fair. I'm just so mistreated, man. Everybody's so mean to me all the time. I don't know. Who wants to live there? I mean, life is not fair. It's not fair that the Spirit of Christ lives inside of you. It's not fair that the love of God has possessed you. That's not fair. You didn't get what was fair. You got what God wanted. Amen. All right, number six. It's funny story time. I love a funny story. I love telling myself. Number six, I remain open to correction and maturity. This is classic. Here's what I'm saying. I want to learn from my mistakes. I want to learn from my flesh patterns. Anybody here got a flesh pattern or two? I want to learn from my flesh patterns, not just wink at them and say, well, everybody's got them. I want to learn from them. So if my flesh comes out instead of Jesus, when I'm at Panera Bread and they lose my order three times, and flesh comes out, I don't want to wink at it. Do what? Hangry. I was hangry. That's the truth. I was hangry. Everybody else has been eating 5-10 minutes. They're all eating and they can't find my order. I go up to the counter to say, hey, you've lost my order. They come back out. Oh, they haven't brought you your order yet? No. It was bad. It was bad. I mean, in my estimation, it was bad. So I just look at when the third time they came out, or it was the second time they came out, because I went in the first time to call it to their attention. I just said, I don't remember exactly what it was. It was something, it was more in the look, but it was, good Lord. Right, do you remember what I had said besides that?
No, I do not know where my receipt is.
Oh, that's right. They kept asking me for my receipt. No, I don't have my receipt. Good Lord. So, you know, when the flesh comes out, I don't want to wink at it. I want to be better. I want to pass the test. And I did give the look, yeah. I hate that. I really do. I really do. I inherited that look paternally. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That look. But anyway, so yesterday, Stacy and I are at Best Buy, and we're buying this laptop. Noelle's getting ready to go back to college. It was chaos, unbelievable. Everything we tried, you know, to sign in and get this discount, and there's a back-to-school college student discount, but we had to have Noelle's email. We're trying to get a hold of her, and she's out in the woods at Willie George camp, and there's no reception. An hour and a half to make a purchase. And you know what the young man said at the end? He said, wow. We passed the test because everybody was completely calm and had goodwill the whole time. So come on, give God praise for passing the test. I didn't say, where is my discount? Good Lord. Last one, number seven. The seventh thing that aids me in expressing Christ as life is worship. And singing unto God. You know what's interesting is it's an ongoing joke at the office. They know whether I'm here or not, whether they've heard me singing. That's how they know. Worship is a powerful thing. What is in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth. And if you're, you know, I really do make an effort to start my day with Him, His presence, His love. And, you know, you're around that enough, you're going to sing. Human beings have to be taught not to worship God. You have to go to church to learn not to worship. Right? When they say, hey, we don't do that. But it's in us, and praise is beneficial. Jeremy, you guys can go ahead and come. I'm out of time. There's times in when I worship God because I feel like it, and I'm just, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. There's times I worship Him because I don't feel like it. Because praise is an absolute weapon. Singing unto God in the face of adversity. Powerful. Paul and Silas, ring a bell. Singing unto God in the face of your adversary. I told you the story of the worship pastor whose wife had passed away. He was devastated. They were in their mid-40s or so. And he had a good friend. I mean, this guy is in the, he's in the black. He's in the dark for 3 weeks. Finally, his friend went to his house, got him up and said, you're going to have to praise your way out of this. And he sat that worship pastor down at the piano. And as soon as he began to just play, he began to sing and worship God. All that heaviness was lifted off of him. My son Joshua, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, he's at youth camp. And he had really had a difficult end of school and summer. And so the first two nights of camp, he's down. He's just thinking on all the negative things that happened. He'd not entered in. Well, the third night, he's doing the same thing. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, you can sit here and think about all that stuff, all that negative stuff, or you can stand up and worship me and I'll break every bit of that off of you. And God did. Remember that? God did. He got up and he began to praise and he's been different ever since. But you know what's a key for him? He's got to keep feeding. He's got to keep feeding, keep feeding. There's so much darkness out there for your young people, for your children, your grandchildren. You know, on the internet and all, there's a lot of darkness. Just encourage them in the way of feeding on Christ. Praise is a weapon. What's interesting is the church in America is being made to back up and back up. I'm sure you felt that. We're being made to be reserved about how we feel about God. So we don't offend everybody. Everything's about, don't offend me. Well, I don't want to offend God by my indifference. And I don't mean like God's easily offended. You know that's not what I'm saying. But man, I think according to John 4, he seeks worshipers. Who'd ever thought we had something that he sought after? But you do. It's worship and praise. And I don't want to be indifferent. So I'm sorry, you know, if my praise offends you, I'm not a very good dancer. I think in my own mind I am. That's what keeps me going. Oh, you should see the Eden household. Oh my goodness. I have family members that keep me, you know, aware that my dance moves are not that awesome. But sometimes I live in my own world. But like I said earlier, it's not right in church if we're taught how to pray, how to, you know, how to get healed, how to have a relationship with God. And then we say, well, when it comes to praise, just do however you're comfortable with. There's nothing in scripture that's a matter of preference. Let me think about that. Well, I'll take this, this, and this out of scripture. But yeah, when it comes to praise, I'm going to do that the way I want. Well, here's what the Bible says. It says we need to yada. That's the Hebrew word for praising God with extended hands. Tada is another type of praise. Raise your hands in thanksgiving. Anybody got anything to be thankful for? Hallel, to brag and boast and rave about God to the point of embarrassment. Have you ever gushed over somebody over and over? You just gush over them, gush over until they're embarrassed. That's hallel. I want us to brag and boast and rave about God to the point of embarrassment. Maybe his and ours. And then Shabak is another one in the Hebrew. It means shout, praise God with a loud voice. Barak, to kneel in worship, to bow before God. Zamar, to celebrate in song with musical instruments. There you go. It's okay to have instruments in here. Thank you, Jesus. And then one of my favorites, probably my favorite, tehillah. Now, this is not to be confused with tequila praise. Not tequila praise, tehillah praise. Listen to what it is. It's the high, unrehearsed, praises of God. Literally nothing on the screen, born right out of your spirit. Tehillah, praise God, I love you. God, I praise you. Nobody's giving you words, just born right out of your unrehearsed spirit. Amen, somebody. Amen. Will you stand with me? Amen. You were there that day, weren't you? Praise God. Well, if you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity.
Lift up the name of the God who saves. Death and the cross no longer reign. Lift up the name.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.